It's all a bit of shenanigans. It's just three blokes really having a crack, put their head over the pill and just smashing in. Anyway, I'm rambling here. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dogs and cats, welcome to the Three Quarter Time Podcast. It's T-Dub here and we've got Janus and Cookie. We are basically three diehard sports fans who are also Gen Zs. So we felt it necessary that we share our opinions in the world that is sport, predominantly AFL, which is where we are because we are Australian. And we are, we like to think we're football commentators, aficionados and analysts. Yes. Anyway, I'll let Cookie introduce himself. Tell him a bit about himself. Where are you from? What's your connection to this great game that is Australian rules football and sport in general?
Oh, it goes back to a long, long way away, a land far, far away, the country town of Belgrade.
Oh, yes, follow the bloody yellow brick road.
Down.
Grew up in the paddocks. Not really. I played footy for the best part of 10 years, I'd say. Grew up loving footy. Ball fella, so I was always chucked into the ruck. Really slug it out in there with the big dogs.
It's actually an abomination of society. They assume just because people are tall, they're good in the ruck.
Were you good in the ruck, though?
Well, the only reason I was good in the ruck was because I started playing basketball, so I learned how to jump.
Yeah.
Only... Oh, basketball background.
Yeah, played basketball as a kid. Was incompetent, then grew to about 6'6", and then realized, what am I doing with my life? Let's get back into the court. and then it became a bit easier, as you can imagine. But yes, now we're in Melbourne, we're in the Big Smoke. Loving life. Loving sport. More time to watch sport now that school and no school.
And we're closer to it.
Not much uni.
Yes.
We're closer to it.
Don't have to rely on the one bloody dogs game versus the Hawks or the Suns up in Ballarat to get access to AFL football.
We don't have to catch the V-line, right, man.
Yes, don't have to catch the V-line.
The V-line doesn't exist. There's no more V-line.
Yes. So big basketball and footy fan. Track. Big basketball and footy, man.
Yeah.
That's it. What about you, Janus?
Definitely. I love the Hawks. Let's just say love the Hawks. Love the Hawks and the Bucks. Two teams that I vividly support.
Yes.
Janus?
Well, I'm a bit more of a late bloomer to the world of footy. I played two seasons, year five, year six, but Dad was the coach, and I don't think I did that well, and I bailed on it as soon as tackling became somewhat ferocious.
Legal.
until it became legal, and I said, Dad, I'm not playing footy anymore, and he went, well, you have to play a sport, so I went to tennis, the least, you know, physically destructive tackling sport there is. Like a bit of tennis. But sort of fell in love with footy around about 2021.
You know,
went to my first game. It was Melbourne Freo, the MCG.
Jeez, that was dour.
And then it's been a love story since then.
Oh,
that was it wasn't
Lloyd
a great game.
Lloyd Meek's debut game, yes.
Yes, Lloyd Meek's debut game.
That was, that was a boring
Melbourne
game of football.
If I remember. But it still opened my eyes to it. So
yes.
I've always, been around the game, but fully got interested into it probably about 4 or 5 years ago.
It's passionate.
And also, always been a Cats fan. Big fan of the Cats.
Have you?
Always. Even when I didn't like it, I was always a Cats fan. And big West Ham fan as well. So they're my two teams. The Cats and the Hammers.
Bang.
Yeah.
What about you, great man?
What about me? Well, I've got, similar to Liam, I've started playing footy when I basically came out of the womb because just was thrown straight into it. No, that makes my parents sound like really evil people. That's not true. But I played footy from about...
Yeah, I picked you up and threw you straight into it.
I started playing footy when I was like whenever you legally can start playing footy, like four players kick, then you just progress in, up the grassroots system. Wasn't very good. Similar to the great man, was thrown to the ruck as a quite a big kid, but weighed about 25 kilos when I was 11. So, yeah, that didn't go down too well. Probably my greatest story out of junior footy was when I basically didn't touch the ball for 6 weeks. And my mum and dad turned to the only method necessary to try and get production out of their son was to bribe me with footy cards, which was just one of the great pastimes as a child. And my mum's like, I'll give you three packs of footy cards if you can get three hit outs in the ruck. Now, because you, when you, what the people at home have got to understand is when you're not very good at a sport, you generally count your stats. And as a stats man and a stats lover of footy, I had 37 hit outs, 11 disposals, and a behind in that game against the top side. Now, that was probably my peak moment in footy. But then, like Janus, tackling became a bit stronger and I squibbed it, didn't like the physical contact, and then turned to tennis, which gave me a lot of. A lot of joy, a lot of trouble, but we got there in the end. Still play tennis to this day. And yeah, it's really, really different to footy. But then as Cookie also said, when you discover that you're 6'6", there's another sport that actually gets exponentially easier the taller you are, which is very rare. And that is the sport of basketball. So play in a local team with mates. We play in the bottom grade. We're absolutely terrible, but we try our guts out and we're trying to get better each week. As far as a fan goes, I'm a diehard Carlton supporter, but I'm not your typical Carlton supporter. I like to think I see the game with a bit more analytical sense than some of the haymaker throwing Carlton supporters out there. I also am a massive. What do you say?
I said bottle throwing.
Bottle throwing, bottle throwing. People say it was some kid who, buddy, ran into the stadium and threw a bottle at the goal umpire and ran out. That's rubbish. It clearly came from the cheer squad. But as far as international sports go, I follow a large variety, including the Miami Dolphins in the NFL, who haven't won a playoff game in 24 years. The Orlando Magic, who have been around for 36 years and never won a championship. The Vancouver Canucks, who have been around for like 55 years and have never won a championship. And when they lost in the final both times out of three, they burnt their city to the ground. So it's fair to say I support a lot of teams that have droughts. But like I always say, you just got, like, you never know. What do I always say? This year will be the year. I'm one of those people. But
I remember in 2016 you told me in 2020, like, I remember this. Now in 2025.
2018, I said the Blues would win the premiership in 2023.
Yeah, something like that.
To be fair, they got bloody close.
They got to a prelim.
Kicked the first five goals of a prelim.
To be fair, it's very different now than it was in 2018.
When we won two games.
That was an interesting time.
And I went to six? No, I went to all the 100-point losses we had that season. We lost to Melbourne by 109, and the Melbourne supporters were sooking in front of us about umpiring decisions when they led by 88 points or something. Then I had to go watch them play the Giants under the roof at Marvel Stadium, where at three-quarter time, the Giants had no bench, and we were down by 10 goals or something.
Oh, I remember that.
And then my dad and I looked at each other and we're like, okay, they've got no bench. They really don't have much to play for. We might actually put in a good effort here and we might see a couple of Carlton goals late, right? Because you've got to remember at that time, the Blues were kicking like 5 to 6 goals a game. And sure enough, the Blues kick a goal, but the Giants kicked 8 and they were playing with 16 on the ground, rotating 2 off the bench, and they beat us by 100 points. So they really took the piss. Then in the last round, I saw the Crows beat us by 100 points the year after they made the grand final. They were abysmal in 2018 and they missed the finals. And then I had to watch Jay Jenkins kick 7, which was not fun. But yes, the podcast is called Three Quarter Time. Now, obviously in sport, you associate three quarter time with the premiership quarter if you're from AFL. And often it means there's only one quarter left. So today I thought we'd touch on one of the biggest comebacks. I'm not sure if this is the biggest comeback in the history of AFL, but it's close. In 1995, the 23rd of July, the Hawthorn Hawks led the Brisbane Bears 13-10-88 to 5-13-43, leading by 45 points at three-quarter time. In the last quarter, the Lions kicked 61 points to 9 to win by 7 points. In if my maths doesn't betray me, a 52-point turnaround in the last quarter. Which
where was that game?
Where or when?
Where?
Was it the Gabba in round 16?
Ooh.
There was 8,209 people in attendance.
Wow.
Back in the good old days of the Gabba.
We wouldn't have been that good in 1995.
No.
Must have been coming.
I don't think the Hawks...
They were the Bears.
No, we were rubbish in 95, surely.
Yeah, the Hawks weren't really good for like 17 years. By the way, Hawthorn's longest premiership drought is 17 years since they won their first one. Carlton currently have a 30-year drought.
Yeah, but it took us about, what, 30-something years from 25 to 61?
Yeah, true.
30, whatever years.
Yeah, but didn't he make 7 straight grand finals or something in the 80s? Or something like that?
Yeah. They made like every grand final from 83 to 90.
He won 5, I think.
Yeah, won 5.
183, 186, 188, 189.
89 he won. That was like apparently the best game ever.
Yes.
Was it though? Not popular.
Apparently we would like to see that.
But according to my dad's generation, probably.
But like...
Also people say that.
But people call it the best game ever though. Like, the Hawks led...
Gary Ablett kicked 9 in a losing grand final. Ipa played with a pierced lung.
It was a tough game. But, like, you think about it.
Well,
the Hawks led by, like, 6-7 goals all day. And Geelong just kicked goals late.
And then the last quarter.
Geelong came home like a steam drain. Well, does that qualify to be the best game ever?
Yeah, to be fair, Geelong in the 90s. Well, Geelong in the 90s, their motto was, if they kick 20 goals, we'll kick 21. That's how Malcolm Blight operated.
Yeah. So. Like, the Cats in the 90s were like the Bills. They were just good, but they just couldn't win it. You know? Like, they just...
Not a bad analogy.
They just couldn't win it, but they finally got the breakthrough. Now, obviously...
Well, they lost 95.
The Cats.
We
lost 89. We lost
89, 92, 94, 95.
Yeah.
Still, they've had a fair drought-breaking premiership in 07.
Bang.
119 points. 144 to 63. It's a fair win. It's a fair win in a JF. But obviously, the season hasn't started yet, so there's not really a lot to talk about. You can only really predict... So, I guess from the preseason games, boys, to the viewers at home, what we're going to do throughout the season is obviously people are like, they love talking about like the Dacosses, the Crips, the Will Days, the bloody Jeremy Camerons. They love talking about the Stars. But as grafters of our craft, we like to appreciate the unsung heroes from the round. So, throughout the season, the boys, what we will be doing is we'll, from the 9 games, we will come up with a 3, 2, and a 1. So we'll each present a player and an unsung hero. So someone who doesn't get 35 and kick 2 every week. Someone who doesn't, isn't a guaranteed All-Australian. Just someone, the best essential, not role player, but unsung player. The punter, the lover. The fan, adoring.
The slugger.
That's a great word. From the preseason, Janus, who is your unsung hero from the preseason?
Unsung hero? Yes, my unsung hero. I'm going to give a shout out to Mitch Nevitt from the Cats. Listen, I reckon Nevitt this year, Dempsey last year had his sort of breakout year. Geelong's sort of we're a club that what's the word? We take a little bit to develop our young players. We get them to do their time in the VFL. Usually it takes about 3 years. Nevitt's coming into his third year, and I reckon he looks primed to have his sort of shake of the stick. And the reason I want to bring a shout out to him is because I like to describe Nevitt as a West Ham type player. And what I mean by that, obviously there's skills that he's got the ability, but it's not the natural talent, the flair that gives him his sort of credentials. Instead, he gets his plaudits from his pressure and his effort and his just commitment. You know, he's not the most fantastical player. He's not the most theatrical. But shit, he gets the job done and he does it as best as he can.
That's
I like it, Jonas.
I do. I love
it. Throughout the preseason, so both in the game against the Hawks and in the game against Essendon, obviously, as a young player, you're going to make mistakes, especially as a young mid in a team where sometimes you can get smashed around the ball. Geelong do have somewhat clearance troubles in the midfield. So as a young player, you're bound to make mistakes. But with him, he doesn't let that get him. Instead, he makes a mistake and he will do his absolute best to make up for it. So I saw multiple occasions of say he gets the rundown tackle, but he gives the ball away, kicking into the midfield. He gives the ball away. He doesn't give up on it. Instead, he goes at the player he's given the ball to, and he's tried to make amends. That's his effort, his pressure, his tackles, his smothering.
Battery building it.
I think that's just exactly what Geelong needs. Just a committed, dedicated, persevering player. Yeah, that's what I liked about him.
That's a fair assessment. Nah, he's looked good. He has looked good. Obviously, as you say, he's been in the system for a couple of years, but he definitely looks good to watch. Just on the Geelong Bombers game, obviously the Dons ran away with the victory, but are there like Essendon supporters are going to want to know, are they fair dinkum? Are the Bombers, I know it's just a preseason game, but like, are the guys like Harry Jones playing on the wing? Buddy, what's his name? Kakko. Are they like...
Kakko?
Are they...
He's going to step up at three-quarter time and the game's on the line. We want to know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, are they...
Head over the pill.
They
got to step up.
Have they got the cattle to win a final? Because Bombers fans don't want to only make the finals. They want to win a final. Can Essendon win a final this year? Can they do it?
I mean, if you look at their personnel, who they got? They've got
Nick Cox.
They've got Nick. God.
Sorry, Hawthorn fan. Anyway, keep going.
He's a Hawthorn fan. Hates the Bombers.
If you look at who they've got Draper's their ruck. I'd argue he's got the ability to be one of the best rucks in the competition. Probably is one of. You know, they've got Merrick as their captain. And he's committed everything to the club, you know. He's there for probably the right reasons.
Yeah.
Who else? I mean, Kakko, I mean, we can't really comment anything.
We'll bring him a bit of X Factor, though.
Because he played two games, it's been preseason. But I reckon Essendon might like finally having a player who probably plays with a bit of personality.
Yeah.
Younger man.
Yeah.
What's the word? Like visible personality.
Yeah.
You know, like he obviously is sort of energetic and electric. Essendon have probably been missing that for, I don't know.
Since I can remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know, probably like 10 years or something. Like look at, I mean, I hate the Wizard, but look at what he's done to Hawthorn. I mean, him and Gingy, like they just bring a fire to the team, and obviously it spurred Hawthorn into win, I don't know, 15 games in a row after being 0-5, making their first final since 2018. And but they looked good doing it. And Hawthorn fans, I mean, like when we went to Collingwood Hawthorn at the MCG, it was pissing down rain. Like, I've never seen that many Hawthorn people in about 8 years. They came from everywhere because their team's doing well.
They all came out of their Toorak mansions.
Once the Bombers fan gets once the Bombers train will get going, it'll be hard to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can they try and stay on the rails?
You've only got to look at, buddy, like what Hawthorn did last year and then what, like, even, I know Carlton didn't, well, I mean, they won two finals, like what they did the year before. Even like Collingwood, like how they just turned a corner and then they just went on this unbelievable run of momentum.
100%. Like can every Essendon team is capable of having a switch flipped and just being able to go on a run.
Yes.
But it probably comes down to like what players can impact the dressing room the most.
Yes.
Game Saturday night against the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, can we just say about the Gold Coast jumpers? They are rubbish.
They're not good. They're not good.
It's just a bright red singlet you get from Kmart. They're $5. They are crap. Seriously.
Yeah.
No,
I'm not a fan. I like a good kit. That is arguably one of the worst kits I've ever seen in world sport.
Bang.
Jeez,
they spent so much time.
First episode, we're going to get some headlines already.
The logo. You can't even see it. You can't see it. You can't see it.
It's valid.
It's not there. Like, it what the hell? All that money for literally nothing.
It's the AFL's money too. That's why it's funny as well.
Compromised draft or what?
Exactly. Great call. Really good call. You get the AFL gives the Hawks three premierships with a compromised draft, and this is how they repay the fan base with a crap red jumper that, as Jana said, you can buy from Kmart. Fair dinkum. What are they doing at head office? Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Anyway, Cookie, who is your unsung hero from the preseason?
My unsung hero. Now, you might not know about him unless you're a Dogs fan. Or you watch one of the preseason games. But exactly. But old Sammy Davidson.
Bang.
He had a hell of a game.
Good shout.
First time we really got to see him just blossom, but he was so good. Like, he... I'll tell you what, I was doing a bit of research because I wasn't, you know, I needed to educate myself on who he is. He's mature age player, so he's 23.
Yeah.
Pick 51 last year's draft. He's got 1 year left on his med degree, and then he was planning on doing a PhD.
Wow.
Oh, so he's obviously a pretty smart bloke.
Smart cookie.
So, look out, because I think the Dogs, they need a bit of youth through the midfield, I reckon, like off back. And Daniel's gone now. McRae's gone. So that opportunity is there.
Yeah.
But can he take it? But anyway. Not really unsung because people are talking about it, but if you didn't watch the game, look out for the blonde kid from, I think, Gippsland.
That's a good call. That's a really good call. Yeah. He's he definitely looked good.
I've got the stats here. I mean, in the first half, he had 20 plus possessions and a goal.
Mm.
And like, for whatever reason, the ball just seemed to follow him.
Yeah.
He was involved in so many passages of play, and Dwayne Russell went, oh, they've got him in again. Like, he kept bringing him up.
Yeah.
Like, all follows good footballers.
Mate, the pill, it was exactly magnetised to him.
I guess.
What about you, Peter?
Well, you've gone the younger route. I've gone... I mean, this guy's got an amazing story. Like, it's quite a... It is an amazing story. I mean, it's a guy you'll all know. It's Jeremy Finlayson. He's had 29. He's had 29 touches and taken 13 marks in a switch to defense. Originally pick 85 to the Giants. Now you got to remember, keep in mind, this is a bloke that had one disposal in a grand final that his team lost by 89 points, which I'm sure the bloke thinks about regularly, but I just felt it necessary to bring it up. And then don't underestimate the moving states and being traded is like such a difficult thing. And then in top of all that, his wife had severe cancer battles. And then to now be rejuvenated as a halfback, like a K position back, to have 29 touches, I just hope he goes well as a defender because he is a good talent. He seems like a really, really good bloke. And it's just good to see someone who is a little bit maligned. Like, I feel like he's copped a fair bit of hate over his career. Like, he's played in the shadow of Cameron and Dixon, and like, he's always been the second fiddle. But I just hope that he has a great season. And I'm not saying he's going to get an All-Australian Blazer, or he's not going to have 25 to 30 every week. But yeah, I just hope he goes well because he isn't a bad kick of the pill. He's not a bad kick of the football.
No. I need that, especially with.
He's not a bad runner either.
Yeah, that's. Just on Port. I mean, they're. Obviously, Hinckley's last year and then the succession plan with Carr. But, I'm fascinated to see how they go. But, I reckon that game was more about the Saints. St Kilda are just...
Oh, my God.
They are depleted. They have, like, no ball movement and no, like... I'm not going to say no talent because that's not fair. But they are just, like... Pretty much the only method of scoring is off turnover and out of the middle. Like, I remember watching that Carlton, even though they won, like, the Blues mids were jogging around, buddy. They were worried about their tan. They weren't worried about the footy. But St Kilda scored, I'm pretty sure it was 5 goals from centre bounce and 3 from turnover. Like, direct Carlton turnovers kick straight to St Kilda players for goals. They did not create anything off half-back. Like, that's... I don't know, but Port have got alarm bells too. Like, Houston's a huge out. Like, Houston's a massive loss. Big. That's something you can't easily replace. I know we were just talking about Finlayson and how I hope he goes well. I do. But Houston's the best kick in the comp just about. Like, there's not many on par with him. Admittedly, they've got Farrell as well, but Houston's a much better defender than Farrell is. Farrell's just a good kick. I wouldn't say he's a great defender, but... Those two are teams to definitely watch, especially early 100%. For Port, given that Butters is not there. It's a lot of pressure on Rosé and, like, Wines to win the pill out of the middle.
Rosé played well, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, Rosé had, like, 39. So, yeah, he played well. And, like, had the most super coach points, which I think he had 143 super coach points. But, Butters is heart and soul of that club. So it's fascinating to see how they go. And back on the Saints, they've got an injury list bigger than the Bible. Like, it's so big. They've got so many out. It's actually ridiculous. Yeah. So
all I can say, I mean, watching that game, it was just too easy for Port. The amount of time they were just outnumbering on top of the ball, outnumbering around the ball, outnumbered forward. I mean, it was too easy.
Yeah.
The Saints have Adelaide first up at the Adelaide Oval. Adelaide are going to be hungry.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck there.
It's a tough game.
Tough.
Really? Yeah.
But, tell you what, if they win, off we go.
The thing is with St Kilda, I mean, they have, like, you look at it last year. They started all right. They went crap during the middle of the year. And then as soon as they weren't making finals, then all of a sudden they start playing well. Like,
I watched them wax Essendon by about 7.
They beat Geelong last year when we had the ability, when we had the chance to lock in top 4 because Brisbane lost to Collingwood that same day. And they beat us. They came out in the second half and they smashed us.
Yeah. Pressure, though. Like, I actually feel bad for Max King. I feel bad for Max King because he missed the start of 2023. He missed the start of 2023. Yeah. The Saints played unbelievable football and were, like, looking like good play, like a good team. Then he comes back, they slump and then lose in the first week of the finals. He's fit for the start of the season last year. They play like rubbish. He gets injured. They start playing well again. So he hasn't.
Yeah,
he has not played in a team that's had a good run for ages. So then the question has to be asked, is Max King the right fit for the Saints? Is he the right fit for
them? And just on that, I mean, now you look at someone like Anthony Caminiti coming in at St Kilda. obviously Max King has had his sort of injury problems, and maybe we'll say his consistency issues.
Yep.
But now St. Kilda has also lost Tim Membry.
Yep.
Right. So now there is a spot open for St. Kilda to have a premier key forward. And I reckon he'll actually be one to watch this year to see whether or not he takes his chance.
Yeah.
The chance is now offered to him on the table. It'll be interesting to see whether he takes it.
Yeah. And they've got a war chest too. Wait,
he's done his knee though, hasn't he?
Did he?
What's he doing? No, he's having...
No, he played against Port.
I didn't. Did he? No.
Yeah, he gave away 50 for like laughing at the umpire for a bad decision or something.
Did he?
Yeah, he played against Port. Yeah, I mean, he now has the chance to prove whether or not he's serious about it.
Yeah, it'll be.
He hasn't done his knee. I think he's having some surgery.
No. I think he's had somewhat of an interrupted preseason, but I mean, he's playing.
What other teams are on the watch? The Cattery Giants, how do you think they're going to go this year?
Well, to be honest, I mean, if I look at the game against Essendon, I didn't think we weren't bad at all, to be honest. I mean, our link-up play out of halfback, we looked to be moving the ball with a lot more speed. You know, so our transition play from halfback to our front half, we look to be moving it quicker. That's obviously through people like Holmes or someone like Bowes.
About your man,
O'Sheen Mullen.
How many Brownlow votes is O'Sheen?
I think he's got none. But
Crown Palladium.
That's the thing. O'Sheen is a very.
What's your over under? What's your over under on Brownlow votes for O'Sheen?
This year or career?
This year. How many votes is
he going to win? Is he going to poll more than 10 or less than 10?
He'll get six.
Six.
So Shane bowls six votes.
But anyway, what I'm saying is we've got quick players on our halfback. And what I like to see with Geelong, we look to involve the whole team through link-up plays to score. But the whole team's involved in our best passages of scoring.
That's why Hawthorn is so good.
We just couldn't finish. You know, like our field kicking was good. And what I like is people like Myers or Close, they have an ability to also spread the ground during quick passages of play with their cheeky inside out kicks, you know, 25 meter, 15 meter kicks.
You can't spread the ground at GMHBA, great man.
We make it big. We make it bigger.
It's a prison.
It's a gauntlet.
Anyway. Yeah, but you
we couldn't play there last year. We got smashed.
No, you got smashed there. I mean we hemmed you in, but we're able to change angles, spread it, make the ground bigger. While still moving it quite quick and then bring good supply for our forwards. I mean, we couldn't finish. Which obviously will be hopefully rectified or focused on. But I do also want to take a moment to look at Jack Bowes. I reckon he was probably him or Grime Myers were probably our best on ground.
Yeah.
We're probably our best on ground. And the thing is with Bowes, I reckon he provide like he's a good sort of middle ground as a midfielder between like the sort of we'll say brute of like our Atkins and the sort of like agility athleticism that is probably more favored by Chris Scott through like our Bruins, our Holmes, Clark. Thing like they're not big players, but they're agile. I think Bowes is a good sort of middle ground.
Yeah.
So it's probably same with Bailey Smith as well. Now that he's come in.
Yeah.
Obviously, he didn't play against Essendon, but obviously, what he'll focus on this year is probably his consistency. Especially when, I mean, Geelong will probably have more. I mean, even in the game against Essendon, we did have our problems arresting momentum. We sort of got smashed about the second quarter. We got smashed out of clearance. We just couldn't get our hands on the pill. I reckon he'll be one to watch this year. And I like him too. He seems like a good bloke and a good player. And I think he's got the ability. So.
Yeah, it's interesting. What about the Hawks? Great man.
I don't want to talk about
what do you think of them?
I was going to ask you, great man, what do you think about the Pies? How are they going to go this year?
One of two ways.
Listen.
One of two ways. They're either going to go
yeah.
all the way and they're playing off in the last day in September, or they're going to completely bottom out and like finish in the bottom six. Because I think they've got the pieces now. They've got like they've topped up.
If they stay fit.
Yeah, they've topped up. They've got Houston who
if they stay fit, there is no excuse not to make a prelim.
I'd say grand final. You've got Houston and Dacos in the same team. You've literally got the two best kicks in the AFL.
In the comp.
But, like, by a fair way, you've got Houston who could hit a 5 cent coin from 70 metres away, and then that Dacos is Dacos. Like, I'm a Carlton supporter. I'm supposed to not like him. But he's a gun. Like, he's actually so good. But then they've topped up their forward line with Membry and McStay, so that's a very interesting watch. That's a very interesting watch, that, because,
I mean, McStay will play this year. He didn't get a run at it last year, did he?
No, he did his knee.
What did he do? He did
his knee in, like,
did his knee. Prelim.
Yeah, like right at the end.
Did his knee in the prelim.
He rocked up about round 18.
He's back right at the end.
But they...
And the thing is, like, watching Collingwood play. I mean, all their new recruits were involved.
Yeah.
But they all were involved. They all combined, you know. So I mean, no, obviously they're gelled to the environment. And like, as much, I mean, it's Collingwood. Yeah. I mean, no one is meant to like Collingwood other than Collingwood supporters.
Yeah. Josh,
I think Craig McRae looks to have probably made a very good culture there. Yeah. And that's being easy for them to slot right in.
Yeah. I mean, and Dacos has moved to half back as well, whether that be permanent or not. I'm talking about Josh here. I mean, if it's permanent or not, it gives them flexibility with their small backs, because I reckon they've got elite small defenders in Maynard and Quaynor, along with Markov and Houston. So, I mean, if Dacos moves to half back, it just gives them a lot of flexibility for ball use and... attack.
He can run.
Because he
was. They are so efficient by foot.
Coming off the wing as well. I mean, and then, I mean, their forward line with Membry adds a whole new look, because you've got Membry, McStay, Majacek, and then on the deck, you've got Elliott and Bobby Hill. That's a scary forward line. Even if McStay and Membry, all they do is crash packs, it means.
They're still bringing the ball to ground. They're ground level players.
It means means one of McStay, Majacek, or Membry is getting the third best defender each week.
Yeah.
Like, say, bloody...
We're all similar players, kind of, aren't they?
What was that?
Yeah, but they're all getting defenders, though.
Three talls.
Yeah, but they're, like...
Yeah, I know.
People say, it's a zone defense. They're it is, like... but it isn't.
Yeah, no, I agree.
They are
especially
similar.
Especially when Collingwood move it quick. You can't zone defense when they're moving it.
Correctly.
100 kilometers an hour.
Absolutely correctly. Which is why teams like Collingwood and Hawthorn are so good, because their kicking is elite, as opposed to the Navy Blues, who can't kick the ball. They're tough. They're big. They've got the best.
This could be the year.
No, it's not. They can't kick the ball.
It's
like they just can't move it. They've got... look, debatably, and forget that I'm a Carlton supporter, they've basically got the two best forwards in the comp, in Mackay and Kerno. They are guns. They are good footballers. And I'm not one of those, like, Harry, Charlie Glazers either. I love them because they play for Carlton, but they're just like...
We keep it honest here.
Yeah, honesty is key. And that's one of my big things as a football fan.
Not glazing on this podcast.
Yeah, exactly right. Except we just had to listen to Janus talk about Geelong for 10 minutes. But besides that...
I apologize.
No, it's all good, great, man. I'm teasing you. They can't move the ball.
I couldn't
properly.
Help it. My boys.
My boys. They can't move the ball. Like who's Carlton's best kick out of the midfield?
Now that Newman's gone.
But out of the midfield.
Out of the midfield.
Out of the midfield, who's Carlton's best kick?
I don't want George Cook kicking the ball.
Yep.
Everyone complains about Walsh's ball use, but I'm...
Walsh, what? Cripps.
Would you say Cripps?
It's probably Cripps.
Or what about Chera?
Yeah.
Chera's not a good kick.
Not Chera.
Chera's not a good
kick.
He looks like he's a good kick because he kicks conventionally, but he's not a good kick. Walsh is a bad kick. Cripps is not a great kick. He's still pretty good. He pulled 45 Brownlow votes.
He's getting better.
Yeah. He's way better than he was. But, like, it's probably Doherty, to be honest. And even he's not a great kick. The best kick in Carlton's team is... He can't kick. He's a ruckman, great man. The best kick in Carlton's team is Jordan Boyd. By a mile. He's such a good ball user. He could hit a 5 cent coin 55, 60 metres away. We're playing the Dogs last year, and he had a kick from the back pocket, and it was just an absolute shoe to the wing. It was lace out. It was beautiful. But, look, I could be wrong. They could have worked on their kicking over the summer, and they just didn't want to show it in the preseason games. But I'm until I see it week in, week out, them using the ball properly for four quarters or three and a half, I am not a believer in Carlton at all. You can't win the game is called football. You can't win the premiership if you can't use your foot to kick the ball. And the Blues just can't do that. They can't kick the ball. You saw it firsthand when we played Hawthorn last year when the Hawks drubbed us by 78 points or whatever it was. You saw Hawthorn kicking the ball. They didn't miss a target all day. And they kicked just goals. Admittingly, we lost eight players. And Jordan Boyd had to play.
Akers? He can kick.
No, he can't. He's a shocking kick. He just kicks it high. He's clutch.
Who did you say?
Akers.
Did you say Akers?
Akers is clutch.
I was thinking that, but...
I swear he tries to take kicks
fit,
on.
Isn't he?
Yeah, no, there's a difference between trying to take kicks on and hitting them. But that's why I'm glad we got rid of Owies. Owies was a horrific kick. All he could do was kick a goal. And
he's so short.
As everyone who's ever played footy knows, goal kicking comes and goes. Owies has had three elite years at kicking a goal. So surely he's due for a drop-off. That's why I'm not completely disappointed in the trade. Look, Owies could prove me wrong, and he could kick 45 goals for the West Coast Eagles, at which point Carlton made a huge mistake, especially when Jagger Smith's gone down with an ACL. But hey, Petrarca...
Jack Martin's going to win an All-Australian at the Cattery.
Probably. That'll just rub salt into the wounds. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess the Blues just... I know they've just absolutely pummeled the Giants... But, like, I don't know. They're just like, yeah, Fantasia, Williams, McGovern played well, right? I mean, Williams has proven he can play well at AFL level. But can Fantasia play well for Carlton? Can he?
Do you think Williams should play forward?
100%. He's his ability to snap the ball around the corner in tight spaces. Kemp? I mean, it's an interesting watch, the Kemp-Silvani switch.
Well, they've done a switch now, haven't they?
Yeah.
Silvani's gone back.
Kemp
seems to be full up forward. So, I mean, last year you saw that he had the ability to play forward, Kemp.
Except
Moya,
that
he, did he play the weekend?
Moya, I don't know if he played, but he's just young. He's just young. He's got to develop
a bit Ashton.
More. Yeah, he's just got to put a bit more muscle on. Very skillful, but he's still very light. Kemp and Silvani. It's interesting. It's a big watch. If it works, it's a genius move. I think Silvani will play better than Kemp will. And I'm Silvani's biggest critic in the world. I think he's overrated as hell. And most Carlton supporters will hate me saying that. Because I think he is.
Do you think it's just the name?
That's not fair on him. But yeah, partly. I also, his effort is not, like, his effort is elite. He just doesn't have the skills. But he's a good grab. He can take good
Maybe he'll...
Is he a heart and soul kind of player?
Yeah, he is.
Maybe the back line will force him to...
No, but that's what I'm hoping.
Switch like, on.
He doesn't... In the position he's playing, he doesn't have to create as much. Whereas it has, as a half forward, you've sort of got to be able to create and kick goals. Whereas he was a much better goal kicker rather than a creator. Whereas in the half back, you can like, I know you're supposed to have like run and carry off half back. His job's to take intercept marks and handball it or kick it to the blokes that create, like your Boyds, your Sards, your Doherty's, like, and McGovern, unfortunately. But yes, it's definitely a watch, I guess. But then on the flip side of that, you look at the Giants, like. You're up by 30 points.
Big sound.
You're up by 30 points in a qualifying final in the last quarter. And you get pipped by 5 points. Then you're up by 44 points in a semi-final at home against Brisbane halfway through the third quarter. Can you come back from that as a team? Can you?
Jonas, what do you think?
What of the Giants?
Yeah. Can they respond? Listen, like, can they actually come back?
I reckon they could bottom out. Oh, I never know.
I probably still have them in the eight. Purely off. I reckon that's something they would have 100% addressed over their preseason.
Would have watched it like 100 times.
However,
I reckon Adam Kingsley has waterboarded them to see, like, waterboarded them with that footage multiple times over during preseason. Like, I don't know. I think
they need a good start.
They need a great start.
If they
lose games early, then that's when the pressure sort of builds.
Lights out. It's cooked.
It's yeah, it really is. If by round five,
geez,
they're like 4-1 or 3, and even if they're, no, wrong way, sorry, if they're like 2-3 or 1-4, geez.
We've got a tough first three, kind of.
Yeah,
Collingwood.
They've got Collingwood,
Melbourne, then right? Hawthorn.
That's brutal.
Melbourne,
Tassie. Melbourne at the G.
Yeah, see, that's...
Hawthorn at Tassie.
See, if
yeah,
they
that,
win...
That is tough.
What's those that play in round four? If you've got that there. Or
and then they play the Eagles.
Yeah.
If they can go into round five... No, if they can go into the Eagles game with...
A win.
Play the Blues at Gather Round.
Yeah, with a win.
If they
go into the Eagles game with a win... I think that's fine.
Yeah, two and two. If you're around 3-4 because of this new opening,
who's their third round opponent
after West Coast? Who do they play?
I don't like our teams have buys in round three. And
oh, have they got a buy?
Well, so it's the opening round stuff.
They've got a buy in round two.
Okay,
the Giants do.
The Giants have a buy in round two.
Yeah, so basically, if they're 0-3 and they don't play West and they play West Coast 0-3, that game is so much pressure.
It's massive.
Because West Coast aren't going to be as bad as what they have been. Because you've got a full preseason into Harley Reid. You've got Jack Graham and Liam Baker running around. That game is huge if they start poorly.
I think West Coast this year, I think they'll focus on being not a walkover. Remaining competitive, being annoying to play against.
Just beginning
like
the
I reckon
McWalter.
That'll be a massive
all
focus for them.
Just beginning the McWalter era in the right way. You know,
yeah,
like they're gonna
but they want to start on the right foot.
Yeah, of course. They're and then you go like a crosstown rival, Freo. Like what's I mean they're stacked.
They're under a little bit of pressure.
They are stacked.
You're a very interesting watch this year for Eric.
They've topped up with Bolton, who's probably the half forward midfield connection they needed. And a key forward that can just have a good year.
Bolton's a big in.
He's a match winner. Like he's also like a bit of a potato in that he has his moments, but he's the sort of guy that in a final, if you're down by like 20 points, he could kick four goals off his own shoe.
He'll step up.
Game.
Give him the pill.
Like he's that sort of guy.
Still on the list. Jeez. How many games is
Nat 5
going to play this year?
Five.
Well, he's missing the first three rounds just because of another injury.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he got injured again.
Yeah.
But like, you look at their midfield. Darcy, Jackson, Brayshaw, Sarong. Like, it's so good. Hayden Young, I know he's
injured.
And
even on the wings, they've got like Jeremy Sharp.
Yeah, they're just.
I think he's pretty good. I like Jeremy Sharp.
Down back, they're pretty slag too. Luke Ryan, Alex Pierce. Like, they're solid. They look good.
What do we think of Brennan Cox?
And Brennan Cox, I completely forgot about him. He's, like, they're solid.
Brennan Cox.
But they got crucified with injuries last year. So, it just, it's a big
They're going to need Banfield,
Patrick Voss.
Voss. I think with Amos, I mean, it's like what you said, like goals come and go. I mean, I think he had a difficult year last
year. He certainly did.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can't fault his effort. I think he sort of had the yips in front of goal a little bit.
So, yeah.
I reckon Banfield's more the one that sort of needs to lift. Do you imagine he's a lot more involved on the ball?
Yeah. No, and especially as a mid-sized forward, you need to be way more involved.
If Tracy's top four. Gotta stay fit though.
Yeah. No, it's
That's every team, isn't it?
Yeah. They're an interesting watch though. And then I mean, I know we're talking about the Giants before, you talk about their crosstown rival, Sydney. The grand final belting doesn't normally go well the next year. It's very rare
but
traditionally the year later,
belting, yeah.
Like they might make the finals, but they won't win one. Like,
I mean, you look after in 2023, what did they finish? They finished seventh, didn't they? They lost
to
you guys?
Should have beaten us.
Yeah, they lost to Carlton in an elimination. Yeah.
But,
That was loud.
They were never going to do anything in those finals.
No. But that's exactly what you said, Tim.
Yeah, it's just, you don't.
They're a big watch.
They are a big watch. And Warner wants to go back to Perth. He's bought a house there.
Yeah.
He's bought a house in Perth. And Goulden's
His
injured
brother
for
re-signed
months.
That, actually.
Goulden's out for months. Like, one of their best players doesn't even want to stay. And their actual best player is out for 3 months.
Done.
And, they don't really have a forward line, which got exposed in a grand final again. Like Amati, McDonald, McLean, they're not that good. Yeah, sure, they can flat track bully.
I reckon that's why.
Like, yeah.
There you go. Sorry, Tim.
No, you're right. And I'm going to sound like a knob. I've always been a huge critic of Nick Blakey. I think he's not that good. Not that good. He's playing AFL footy. He's obviously a talented footballer. I've always thought he's overrated. He was exposed on grand final day massively. I was at the game. That game was over at quarter time. I know it was 8 points in favour of the Lions, but Sydney looked ordinary in that first quarter. I know they kicked the first two goals, but still, you could just tell Brisbane were about to go bang, and they did. Like, they were good, and Sydney were terrible, and I mean, if you're like Heaney, for example, you've had your best year by a mile. You've gone into the grand final, let's be real, heavy favourites, and you've butchered it and been appalling, both as an individual and a team. Like, how do guys like him respond to that?
We'll learn a lot about him this season, I reckon.
Yeah, and they've had a coach change too. So,
that'd be interesting. I'm excited to see how the Coxilla goes.
Yeah, look, it definitely
new Coxilla in town.
It definitely will be. It will be very interesting, like just to see how Sydney go.
Who was the coach before John Lundmyer at Sydney?
Paul Roos.
Was that Paul Roos?
Yeah. When did he finish?
2000
before the 2012 2011 wasn't it?
2010, I think.
I can't remember a Sydney coach for a while.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about Sydney and then you talk about the grand final. You obviously talk about Brisbane. Danaher's a big out. It's a big hole. Can Morris, Hipwood and Sam Day, are they up to it to fill that hole?
Sam Day?
Yeah, he's played.
Out the Lions.
Yeah, like obviously, you win a premiership, you don't change too much. You've got to evolve, but you don't change too much. You don't change your fundamentals. Like, you're never a completely new team when you win a premiership. The play style, right? Like,
I think it's about the leaders.
Yeah,
do they have the leaders to like keep the players in check? Like, what's Walker been like this whole season? Zorko had a great year last year. What's he going to do this
All
year?
Australian, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's almost the barometer.
He looks somewhat rejuvenated being pushed into the half back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Will he back it up, though, is what I'm saying.
And that's the thing. They've got a lot of players coming back. They've got Coleman coming back.
Exactly.
McCarthy coming back. Got to remember, McInerney didn't play in the grand final. So...
Love Big O.
It's a lot of like, there's a lot of talent like, coming back. But that big, how is Hipwood good enough to fill the void?
Pencil.
Yeah. He's showing glimpses. Like he's showing glimpses.
Yeah, but is he
like,
good
obviously
enough?
Is he good enough?
Can't answer it now. He's played one person.
Not that.
Played well in the grand final.
But like, I mean, For every game he kicks five, like he kicked five against Carlton or something, or was that the Dogs last year?
Hipwood, yeah.
He had a confident like Lohman and Morris.
He kicked five in a game, and then he obviously, and I don't think he did much after that. But then
he was
on grand
injured,
final day,
to be fair.
He kicks that, yeah. But and then obviously in grand final day he kicks that miracle from the Akamanis boundary. But
it's one of the best goals I've ever seen.
He's showing glimpses, but. Can he keep it consistent?
Can he fill the hole of Joe? And you're right though, Cookie. Like Lohman and Morris are gonna have like
they're gonna be so confident.
Yeah.
They've just had such good final series. Like, I don't underestimate what that does to a young player.
Even someone like Rainer as well.
Oh yeah.
Or Archie.
Look out for him, to be honest. Rainer.
Hopefully.
He's finally done it where it counts.
He shut up the critics. He said, I can do it.
Yeah.
That goal, like, I was there when he kicked that goal against Geelong.
So was I.
Still have nightmares.
I still have nightmares about it. But, like to kick that goal outside 50 on the left.
I was hugging Brisbane supporters when he kicked that goal.
Mate,
I was right behind that.
Was heart-wrenching as a supporter, but... As a fan, you can only look back and go, well done.
And Ryan Lester, we love the unsung heroes.
And that first half against Geelong, he was not there.
Yeah.
He was not there in the first half against Geelong. And he rocked up and was probably the best player on the ground the second half. And he won them the game.
No, I agree. But obviously, it's March. It's March. We have no idea who is going to win the premiership. However, we think we do based on very limited data. So I guess, Janus.
The feel.
Who is your grand final lock this year? Who is like Garrett?
Can we each
Sorry,
Cookie. We each go through a grand final lock.
Yeah.
And then we'll...
Yeah.
So, Janus, who is your grand final lock for this year? Who is guaranteed to make the grand final?
When I look at their list, when I look at this team, when I look at what they are capable of doing, it sort of pains me to say it, but I reckon my grand final lock is Collingwood.
Yep.
If they can stay fit with that team, if all their new recruits can stay involved, they've got Nick Dacos, they've got Josh Dacos, which... Honestly, he's very underrated because he obviously lives in the shadow of his younger brother.
BNF in a premiership year.
Exactly right. They've got Darcy Cameron, which I reckon he is another sort of unsung hero. He came second in their BNF, or I think he won it. Second or first, I don't know. But he is supremely underrated in the grand scheme of things. He's a good player. They've got Bobby.
Oops, my bad.
they've got Bobby, they've got Schultz, they've got Majacek, they've got Elliot. You know, I reckon Quainer is actually one to watch this year. Is he had a pretty ordinary season last
year? Yeah, he didn't have a good year.
And based on what I've seen in his preseason sort of stuff, I think he looks hungry to make amends for that pretty ordinary year. I've always rated Quainer. So if they can stay fit, I think they've got no excuse.
Cookie?
Where are you, Tito?
Nah, Cookie, who's your grand final lock?
My GF lock. I don't want to say it, but I think they will. It is the Geelong Cats.
Ooh. Why do you say that?
Because they won't be satisfied with that prelim. No, I'm not trying to mozzie up. Well, maybe I am. No, I think when prelims like that happen, where you should have won the game, which Geelong should have won.
I'll never forget it.
There's a lot of young players that they'll stay with.
I reckon the Holmes.
Like Amman O'Sheen. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, they know 100%. They can win another one. They can
win another one. In a game like that, where O'Sheen Mullen, beautifully on the left, kicked it to Bradley Close, who sets up Ollie Henry. That for his third goal, that will stay with them. That's one of the best kicks I've ever seen live.
What about you, Tim?
Look, they've topped up their defense. They've got talent across every line. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? He's shaking his head because he hates this. Yeah, I'm doing it. It's the Hawks, right, man. It's the Hawks.
We finished, 16th 2 years ago?
Yeah, but look at 08. It's shades of 08 all over again. They've got Barras and Battle
we'll
now.
See.
They are pillars. They've got Weddle. They've got McDonald. They've got Newcomb. Will Day could win the Brownlow, genuinely. I don't think he will because I think too many people take votes off him. Look, you got Gunston, Bruce, experienced footballers. You got Guinea and the Wiz, who are interesting individuals, but are bloody good footballers. You've got Sicily, who I reckon is arguably the most competitive bloke in the league. And Lloyd Meek. Obviously, the question is, can they back it up? But I think they can. Yeah. Because they're young, they're fiery, and you're telling me they're not going to be determined after this. You talk about young teams having close finals losses.
Oh.
They had a young team who won a final in Melbourne, got that taste, should have probably beaten Port.
I want more.
Let's be realistic. They should have probably beaten Port. And obviously what happened with Hinkley and Ginnivan afterwards, which I think is completely deserved. If Guinea wants to walk that tightrope, if he falls off, he deserves to be laughed at by people. Sure, Hinkley probably shouldn't have been the man to do that. But I think they're going to be pretty determined. And I'm very excited for Hawthorn Port Adelaide Sunday night gather round. which we will all be in attendance for. We'll be there.
All three of us.
So is like, that's theatre. Who's, we're moving on to...
Oh, sorry, Tim, just on that. Liam, what do you think of Hawthorn this year? Like, based on that preseason game, based on Tim's
I think the best way to go about this is for me to shut my eyes and pretend I didn't watch the preseason games.
Like, because even in the preseason game, what do you think?
We didn't look good at all. Oh, God, I watched Hawthorn a lot of games last year. We didn't look like that. But, you know what, maybe Tim's convincing me. Because... I think the first, I don't know. I actually don't know. I genuinely don't know what's going to happen. I'll be glued to the screen Friday night, trust me.
We're just predicting. I don't actually know. White men predicting.
Yes.
I think it's either going to go really good or really bad.
Yeah. No, that's fair. All right. What about a bolter? Someone who's outside the eight last year and going to storm into either flag contention or we'll win a couple of finals. What do you reckon, Janus? What do you reckon? Who's your bolter?
My bolter is, and I reckon I'll have a similar one to you. I said Adelaide.
Yep. Yeah, I've got bolter. Adelaide as well.
I think purely if you look at who they've got midfield-wise and forward-wise, like, Saligo, I think, is ready for a big year. They've got Dawson, who's one of the best kicks in the comp. They've got Rankin, who sort of fills that half-forward midfield role. Very quick. He's strong on the ball. I think he cares about that. Like, he's passionate about the club. He wants to do well at the club. And then you've got Tex, up and about.
Yeah, the three-headed monster. Tex, Thilthorpe, Fogarty, and then you top it up. Yeah, but O'Brien, yeah.
100%. So, I reckon if they get on a roll early, I reckon they'll rise up.
Then you've got
they don't.
But Nick is under so much pressure. Seriously, he's under a lot of pressure, Matthew Nix.
I think Adelaide are very reflective of Melbourne in 2021. I think that's the coach is under phenomenal pressure. They've got a few players in Pete Ling and Neil Bullen. And I think Pete Ling looked really good too. But they've just added to their midfield depth.
About Pete Ling as well.
They've added to their midfield depth and forward depth. They play...
Like Matt Crouch is like their last...
Yeah, they are going to...
Like, what a good luxury that is.
They are going to... crack in and play with a brutal... I reckon they are going to be a brutal team. They are going to be good, yeah. I reckon. That's why I've picked them as well, Janus, because I... And then you've got, like, Michael Ennie and Worrell and Keane, but can they be consistent on the defensive side of the ball? That's probably their biggest question.
I was going to ask you, what do you think of them defensively?
I think they're just good enough. I think offensively they've got so much power. It's a question though. I mean, their issue last year wasn't defense, it was connection. And then you've got guys like Bond, Nankervis, who are good footballers.
Really?
Like, I reckon watch out
I like the look of Bond last year.
Watch out for the Crows, I reckon. What about you, Cookie? Who's your 007. Who's your bolter?
I have one. It's a little bit risky, I would say. I've got the D's.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
I reckon the D's can win a few games.
It's a good shout. Clary looks good. 33. Well, I didn't say that,
look, Clary looks a hell of a lot better than he did last year, let's say that. And that makes a big difference from just the morale point of the entire organization.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Look, the D's are one of those teams where if they get going... look out, because I think the question I have with them is their forward line.
Yeah.
I don't know where they're going to get goals 11 from.
24.
That's the thing. They did that last year, didn't they? They're really inaccurate.
I think that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Van Rooyen's their number one
forward. If their midfield gets going, Yeah, exactly. But
I like that call.
Just look out. I think Melbourne won't be satisfied with one good year, really.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, that's really all it is. Like, they've what, straight sets?
What, they've won six finals back-to-back in, what, 3 years or something.
Back-to-back years, straight sets.
Yeah.
Then they miss the
Man,
eight.
Man, we're going to find a lot about Melbourne. I think if last Melbourne, final they won, if Melbourne don't final. Make the eight this year, then...
That's it.
Back down, I think.
Yeah, for this list, it's probably
because Cozzy's going to go.
Yeah.
Cozzy's going to go.
Yeah.
Which, I think Cozzy's like their forward line.
And they've trade-bagged him too. They've said if he wants to go, we want three.
He will go. I won't care.
He's going to,
He's
texting his mates or whatever.
Yeah. Nah, that's a good call from Melbourne.
That's a really good call, Liam. I like it.
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, they've got, like, the reverse of Carlton. Carlton have Mackay and Curnow. Melbourne have May and Lever. Two elite defenders.
They haven't produced.
And then, yeah, it's just, as you say, can Van Rooyen and McDonald be any good for them? And Fritz is
Harvey Langford as well.
Yeah, he's a good, all right. Good
he
player.
He could bring a bit.
All right, who slides out? Who collapses?
I'm gonna go first.
Yeah,
we touched on it a little bit earlier. A little bit risky. I'm going the Swans.
I don't mind it.
I've done the same thing.
Here we go. Beautiful. The
Swans both missed. Swans missed the eight.
I reckon a collapse is brewing. I don't trust it. Things can... We've seen it before. History has truths. And I think the Swans are going to struggle, but we'll see. If they start poorly, it's going to be a lot of pressure on Mike. Because the thing is, they've got A graders. If the A graders aren't performing, that's where they got exposed last year. So.
Yep.
Anyway, it's a watch.
Yeah. I just saw purely like on the mental side of things, like you've Sydney as a team, like as an organization, they've been smashed in four grand finals. And then this team itself has been smashed in two. Like what is that? Liam's right. If they start poorly, you see what they're like under the most immense pressure.
Yeah.
Can they, you know,
like a really mature year.
Can they write that ship? Can they tell everyone, listen, we got smashed in two grand finals, but we won't do it again.
Yeah.
Like
Jimmy?
What about me?
The bottom out.
I personally think the Blues. But I won't be boring and bag my own team. I think the Dogs.
That's what I was going
to you only, like, come on, you only get so many chances. Like and they've got a little bit going on at the moment with McRae and Daniel going. Bont's not fit, out for 6 weeks.
Trelaw's out.
Hugo Hagen hasn't trained. A lot of pressure. And Liam Jones is out. Liam Jones is out for 8 weeks or something with a hamstring. I just think there's a lot.
But they're relying on a lot more of their.
A lot needs to go right for the Dogs to have a good year, I think. I just don't think they have. I can't see them being a contender. You can't teeter around the eight and be a contender for this long without eventually sliding. And I think it's time for them to say goodbye. Yes. Now, the award we all love, High Flyer, Mark of the Year. Who takes Mark of the Year, Janus?
I've gone Ollie Dempsey.
Bang.
Last year, mate, he had about... 3 to 5 chances of taking an absolute postage stamp hanger, and he got his hand to probably most of them, just couldn't get it to stick. I think either this year or by the end of his career, he will have taken Mark of the Year.
Cookie?
I've got a name that no one will ever answer for this question, but I believe Jeremy Sharp from the Fremantle Dockers.
Oh, la la.
You reckon he's just going to get a seat?
Why do you say that?
He played in the wing. He played in the wing. Some will Meatloaf is going to be going back with the flight. He's just going to have the seat. Doctor Stadium, the lights on. He's going to take it.
I love that.
I've just visioned it.
I love that.
If it happens.
I love that.
You know
what? Where will... What happened, do you think?
Optus.
That's
big. Oh, Optus.
He only plays Optus. All right.
Dude. I reckon Jack Higgins. I reckon he could just ooh, sit on someone's head. Like, they'll be down by like 60 points or something in a game, and Jack Higgins will be like, all right, that's it. Then he'll just sit on someone's head. Like, it'll be against like... It's like Fremantle or someone. The ball will just get kicked in and Cox will be going to take an intercept mark and Jack Higgins will just sit on his head. I don't know. But my goal of the year is from the team I just named, Fremantle. I reckon Shea Bolton could kick one of the best bananas we've ever seen.
I had the same one.
You had Shay?
I had the same goal of the year.
Yeah, I reckon Shea Bolton could kick goal of the year in Perth. On a Saturday night against like one of the Saturday night teams.
Exactly.
In like against like Essendon, St Kilda, or North Melbourne, in Perth, just kick like an inverted torp or something. Just he'll just do something. What about you, Janus? Yeah, who do you think's going to kick goal of the year?
I reckon this will be a very rogue call. Not a lot of people have this guy kicking goal of the year. But I've gone Paul Curtis. Ooh. From North Melbourne.
Paul Curtis. How's he going to kick it? How's he going to kick it?
I reckon he'll be running on the boundary. He'll have two blokes at him. He'll fend off both of them. Snap through traffic.
Zach Bailey-esque and or Jordan DeGoey-esque.
Straight drop punt.
I reckon his
goal of the year will involve fending off two blokes.
Awesome. His bench press is crazy.
And he's shown that he's capable of it.
Yeah.
He's shown that he's capable of it. No, there's a goal against Sydney, I think.
I like that. I like that. 2023.
Yeah.
Rising star, boys. Who takes home the rising star?
Cookie, you start.
I have, because I know he's going to get a lot of playing time. They kind of need a little bit more in this position. I've got Bo Allen from the Eagles.
That's a good shout. I don't mind that.
Nice.
I think what big body midfielder could play a very important role in a lot of contested footy. Like, because if he starts well, they're just going to play him all year there.
Yeah.
Realistically.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to get his opportunity every week. Like, what? Who even is their midfield? Like,
Kelly.
Besides Harley.
Harley Reid. No, Sheed. Yeah, like, Sheed's done a knee.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I feel like they're going to have injuries. If he stays fit, they could get a lot of possessions and like important ones. So he also does run from defense. So there's going to be a lot of that for the Eagles.
Yeah.
James?
No, you go, Tim.
I've said this is a toss up. Look, obviously, the obvious ones are like O'Sullivan and Lawler from Richmond, but it's hard to go past Harvey Langford from Melbourne. They rate this kid behind the scenes. They reckon he's a gun, but I reckon he's just going to blossom, take the award.
He'll get
the opportunity, that's for sure.
But these are asking for a young midfielder.
Exactly. I mean, Petrarca, Oliver, and Viney aren't getting younger. So, and talk about a midfield. That's probably the best midfield in the comp to develop a young kid. And with Gorn giving the ball to him as well. Like, got a good midfield to learn in. Yeah, what about you, Janus?
Listen, I'm not sure how many games he will play this year, but I'm going to go with someone from the Cats.
Oh, my word. The glazing is ridiculous. Connor O'Sullivan. That's a good pick. Looks good off halfback.
Connor O'Sullivan. I'm not sure how many games he'll play this year, but he does look good off halfback, but he's versatile. And I know I'm glazing my own club. Whatever.
Hey, go with it, JS.
No, I don't mind it.
But he looks... Oh. I reckon he'll be the... He'll be the Geelong's net blitzers. He'll be our utility around the ground. He can play forward. He can go back.
Yeah,
he can. I don't know. He's tall, and maybe he can play in the
198. Oh, jeez, I didn't realize he's so tall.
Yeah, decent. That's 6'6". Yeah, so, that's a good height.
I think he just provides a lot of versatility for Geelong, and he can plug in holes where we'll probably need him.
So he's essentially a blitzers replacement going forward.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And like, I'll tell you what, I mean, he looked good in the preseason games.
Yeah. Coleman.
All right.
I apologize for the glazing.
Who have you got to me? Who have you got for the Coleman?
Suva. I reckon it's Nick Larkey's time.
Big Suva.
I reckon North Melbourne are going to get enough ball out of the midfield now. And with Jack Darling playing down there too, I reckon... Larkey will be able to get more one-on-one contests, which I walked past Larkey over the summer. Jeez, he's a big guy. He's a big boy. I reckon if I played on Larkey, he'd genuinely kick 30. More probably. Like, he's so big. He's so big and strong. I reckon, like, yeah, he's going to draw the best defender.
He seems a good bike. But, a good bike.
Does a very good Rafa impersonation. It's very funny. And Damien Barrett as well. What about you?
Oh, and Damien Barrett. Yeah. Yes, I was about to say that.
I can't even do it. What about you, Janus? Who's King Go? Who's Coleman medalist for 2025?
I've gone Mitch Georgiades.
That's a bold call.
I've gone big Mitch. I reckon he is... I actually go so far as to say one of the best mitts in the comp.
Yeah.
He can take... Like, he's got, like, he's got the stickiest hands I've ever seen. Just seems to just stay there whenever he takes a contested mark. He leads very well, and I reckon if you've got Rosie and Horn Francis kicking down his throat, he'll mark him.
Yeah. Good call.
And he's a pretty good kicker goal, too.
I mean, he's going to get a lot of possession, like, a lot of opportunity. Especially with Marshall out.
Yeah, 100%.
I have
what do you think?
Old Benny King. The Suns. Yeah.
He's going to get a lot of the ball. Yeah.
Good call.
We've been told by Hardwick that apparently this is the year. We'll see. But if it is the year,
yeah,
he could kill a lot of goals.
I agree.
Like, they need to feed this guy. Because when he's like on, they can beat anyone.
He can do it. He can do it. He's showing he can do it.
Has he got the mental application to do it, though? Has he got the mental toughness? Can he actually kick 70 goals?
I think he has.
Yeah, no, that's a good call.
What did he kick last year?
Don't know. Decent amount, but I've got no idea.
Kick 55.
That's a fair chunk. It's not bad.
Kick 55 last year.
He missed games, too. Good.
Yeah.
Played 22 games.
Wow. Right. He didn't miss many games. Brownlow medalist.
I have the old of the faithful. Our savior, Pete Cripps.
Pete Cripps, votes. 3 votes.
Oh!
I mean, he's going back to back. Why wouldn't he go back to back? Name a reason why he's not getting another 30 votes at least.
I've got no argument.
Nothing's changed. Jagger Smith's out. No one's taking votes from him.
I've got no argument.
They finished 8th last year.
Finished 8th and he polled 45 votes. To be fair...
That's what I'm saying. But...
Can I jump in on this? Because...
Yes.
By the way, I'm not saying you shouldn't have deserved 45 votes.
This is what I'm going to talk about. To all those people out there that say Cripps doesn't deserve 45 votes. Look, that's probably true. But he deserved at least 40 of them. Go and watch all of Carlton's games and look how important Cripps is in all of them. He's our best player in like 24 games. 24 of 24. Pretty much. Maybe 20. But he was pretty much the best player in every game. But
and I don't see why it's going to change.
What about you, Janus?
That's my pick.
I've gone with Will Ashcroft.
Ooh.
He's going to need Lachie Neale to break
obviously
his leg.
Obviously a Norm Smith medalist. Obviously a Norm Smith medalist. He did his... What did he do? His ACL? He comes back. He's a Norm Smith medalist. He is so involved in Brisbane's forward play. And you see he's both got the contested ability and the agility, and he's a very good kick of the ball. And also, I reckon his blonde locks streaming out of the midfield, it'll just catch the umpire's eyes. He'll look bloody good doing it.
Good, Jonas.
Take up.
Liam said there's no one who can stop Cripps from getting the brown, though. This bloke can.
And it's going to be Ndakos.
Ndakos, three votes.
Nicholas, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had 38 Brownlow votes, all of which were legitimate.
And he lost. He came second.
He did poll. No, I swear one of them was like Josh should have got the votes or something.
Anyway, whatever. He is Collingwood's general now. He is their centrepiece. In the midfield, there's not many players that are going to take votes off.
He's their vice captain, yeah.
There's not many players that are going to take votes off him in the midfield. And I think people are saying, oh, he's got plantar fasciitis, blah, 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 blah. He was moving pretty well in the Pracky game, and he was kicking the ball so well. And let's be real.
Yeah, 35 in the three quarters.
The only thing I'll say about Ashcroft is he's got his brother and Lachie Neale playing in the same midfield. That's the only thing I'd say. Cripps, nothing against that.
No,
Carlton don't have a midfielder unless they could arise. Like Chera or Hewitt could have their career best years and take votes off him. But you got to remember, Bont's injured, Goulden's injured. Rosie's got Horn Francis and Wines.
True.
Dacos and Cripps. Are they pretty much the only centerpiece midfielders that don't have much competition that are fit? Like
Heaney?
Heaney's got Warner.
What about Tom Green?
Yeah.
Tom Green's injured.
He is.
But Tom Green's a good shout, but he's going to miss the first couple of weeks.
Zach Merritt, if that's not a good year.
Yeah, no, that's true. So Zach Merritt's one.
Merritt, good call.
Like a guy like, but then you got like Steele, who's got McRae. So that's why the Bont can't win a Brownlow. People, like, I wasn't surprised.
He gets votes stolen.
I wasn't surprised when the Bont didn't poll. I had Treloar to poll more votes than the Bont last year. I thought going in, Cripps' biggest threat was Dacos. And it was. But I think Dacos will win it this year. I think he's ready to win one. I think, look, his second year when he got injured and Cripps pipped him at the post, look, he was unlucky. But hey, he won a premiership, so who cares? No, he didn't. That was the year later. And then Lachie Neale got him. And then Cripps got him again. I think he's ready.
I just
think he's ready to win one. I mean, it was like Judd. Judd was just ready to win one. I'm not comparing Dacos to Judd at all, but like, I think he's just ready. We've looked at the positives, boys. We've looked at the positives. But there's always one question every year. Which coach gets sacked first? Janus.
I'm going Luke Beveridge.
Bang. Cookie?
I'm going the old Hinkley. I don't think he's going to make it.
You don't think he'll last?
You don't think he lasts?
Hawthorn, when they're 0-5 after Sunday night, I'll be waving on the...
You'll be doing this.
Like they were doing to me. I'll be doing a lot of things.
Yes, that's beautiful.
Very poorly. Let's not clip that.
Anyway. I think it will be... This is tough. It's a hard one. I think Bevo as well. I think the Dogs are. It's time for them to slide.
Bevo could be another lot. Yeah.
I mean, you think about last year. I mean, there was a point where everyone was sort of, like where his job was on the line, and then they started winning.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Metrics wise, they were one of the best in the comp. They were a prelim final, like using the data from like 360 from Kingy. They had like the prelim final indicator. They were like ready. They looked primed. They just choked a little bit at the end of the year. But so we slide into opening round. It's been an interesting pilot. It's been a good pilot. I just thank you everyone who's listened so far. And I'm going to hand it over to Cookie to finish us off with a bit of a three-quarter time rev-up speech as we go into the final quarter.
Try backwards kick myself.
I'd just like to focus for a second on our just fantastic under-20s Socceroos team that have won for the first time ever. They have won the AFC, Asian Football Championship, or Cup, whatever it's called.
That's big.
Look, soccer's growing. We want it to grow because when the World Cup's going, like when the World Cup was on, that was, we all remember.
Oh, unbelievable, wasn't it?
It's beautiful.
I mean, we want the world game to grow. The last thing I wanted to bring up was, let's get behind our Melbourne teams in the NBL.
Good call.
We've got the United playing tomorrow night against Perth.
Oh, yes.
In game three of the semi-finals, and then we've got South Melbourne Phoenix on the Wednesday night playing against Illawarra. So if both those teams win, we'll have a best of five game series, all going to John Cannery. And I tell you what, that'll be bloody good for the city. That'll be a good. Be great.
Right, cool.
The NBL is growing. Yeah. The NBL's had a great year. Especially with like Tassie, that they have the blueprint of how to build a Tassie team. Well, I think Tassie had made the grand final like 3 years in a row or something.
They won it in their first year, didn't they? The Jack Jumpers.
Something like that. One last year. But, yes. As for a rev up, well, look, sometimes you just got to step up to the plate, and that's what we want to bring here. Dana's team, Cookie, we love stepping up and we love the honest opinions. So we're going to bring to the pot every week. And that's what we want. We just want your company. That's what we want. And yes, you'll see us. What? When's the next episode coming up? After opening round.
Pretty much one a week. That's it.
One a week.
That's it. Bang.